Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Happy day after Mother's Day.
Oh, so exciting.
So exciting. Hopefully you all had a great weekend. It's weird to talk like this because it's not Mother's Day
yet. It hasn't happened for us yet because
it's in 2 days.
It's in 2 days, yeah.
But today's for Friday. You guys, it's passed.
But now you're going to listen to it and will have passed for all of us.
Time, it's just an illusion, isn't
it's
it, really?
It's just the folds of time.
I've been watching the OA.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. And they like time travel and interdimensional stuff. Like, it's crazy.
We've already talked about that, but yeah.
What?
There's that the time is not linear.
It's not linear. Fold,
so that you could kind of go through.
That's what they do.
Through another side.
I know.
And then.
So it's not Mother's Day yet. Mother's Day has passed.
It's not Mother's Day on the OA either. Yet.
Wow.
Or is it?
Or is it?
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. So we thought we would just talk today about
mothers.
About mothers.
I almost choked on my chai tea, but I'm okay.
She's going to make it to Mother's Day, mm-hmm, people. Mm-hmm. She's alive. So yeah, we were going to talk about our experience being mothers.
Mm-hmm. Our challenges. And our positives.
Our positives.
Our good things about being a mother.
Our positives. We're going to talk about our positives.
I'm positive that I am a mother.
So it was really cool because in class today, Joe came to dance. And I always love seeing you guys. And I love like watching her watch you. And it's just such a special thing.
Oh, yeah.
I really look up to you guys and I admire that dynamic and that relationship.
I take it for granted, too.
Yeah,
I do.
Probably do.
Yeah, I do.
Which, I mean, that's kind of life, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Until something happens, then you're like, I shouldn't have taken it for granted.
Exactly.
But
we just talked about that in the Joy podcast.
We did, yeah. I totally take it for granted that Joe is just, you know, going to be there.
Mm-hmm. So when Joe made you a mother.
Yes.
So we were just talking to Julie when we were before this podcast, and she was saying how, so Julie chose not to have kids and she was just like curious about how relationships change and, friendships and how we change ourselves as mothers when we enter motherhood and how, mm-hmm, you know, or if we choose not to become a mother and how friendships then change as, other friends have kids and just the dynamic of becoming a mom, like it changes you.
It really does. And you don't think, I mean, of course I thought it would change, mm-hmm, certain things, but I didn't think it would change that much, mm-hmm, of who I was or how our life was.
Yeah. It changes everything,
but it did change a lot. And I had Joe when I was 29,
right,
which I thought was, I was really old, which I wasn't old.
I think that's a nice age.
Yeah. I thought it was a good age. I thought,
I mean,
like,
everybody can do it whenever they want.
Yeah. Like, my friend had a kid at 20 and they was the same. I mean,
and they were happy.
They were totally happy with it.
Yeah.
But I had Joe at 29 and it was a huge, and I really wanted to have Joe.
Yeah.
I really wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
Was
it easy for you to get pregnant?
Yep. We got pregnant the second month of marriage.
Uh-huh. God, that's crazy.
I know.
Which is so nuts because I got pregnant with my first, how old is
Huxley's four.
Huxley's four, but I got pregnant before that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like,
oh, 6 years ago. I think it was 6 years ago. Yeah.
6 years ago. And so that was like, 6 years into my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I got married at 24.
And did you want to wait? Is that why? I mean, were you waiting or were you not really trying?
I mean, Rob definitely didn't want to have kids right away.
Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do some other stuff first.
Oh, yeah. And we did a lot of fun stuff. Like, I'm glad we waited.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had, like, it was always like every single month, it was like, is it going to happen this month?
Oh, because you weren't using birth control.
No.
Oh.
Because I think I'm very infertile. Not very
well,
infertile.
I wouldn't say that now, given the
But I think,
history.
Isn't that so funny, though? Like, So you could, and that's why, like, you'd never know anybody's story. Like, mm-hmm. just by looking at them, like, you could look at me and see me in the grocery store all frazzled with, you know, three kids. And for anyone out there who, you know, struggles with infertility or loss or anything, you may look at me, for example, be like, oh, I'm sure that was just so easy for you. Yes. Or I'm sure, you know, like, look at her.
She's
look at her,
like,
with her three kids.
So many children.
And they're all so close in age. Like, I'm sure it was, you know, like, I don't know. I'm sure you could make some assumptions about you know, my story. And I remember doing that. So if anyone knows, like, most of you know this about me, but our first baby, we lost at like 5.5 months pregnant. And I remember, like, anywhere I went, I would look around the grocery store. I'd look around, you know, the park, and I'd see moms with kids and just be like, you have no idea. I mean, you just don't know people's stories. And no. I'd look at them and I'd be jealous and I would think, oh, that must have come so easily for them, or, you know, just kind of coveting what they had. But, you know, then looking back at, or I guess fast forwarding to me, you would see me and maybe think the same thing. But, you know, I mean, I had a stillborn, I had an ectopic pregnancy, I had a miscarriage. We've never used birth control ever. In almost 15 years of being together, you know, I had to use fertility meds for Huxley and Piper. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's just so interesting. Becoming a mother was something that I didn't ever really know if I would be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you, just like 2 months in, you just get it. You just got your baby.
Got my baby. Right away, got my baby. Where yeah. my husband's like, uh oh. I thought it would take longer than this.
Yeah, right.
And it was shocking for me. Like, I was not really prepared for the amount of care and time that it takes to have a baby. It
takes a long time.
Around
a lot of time.
A human.
Yeah.
All around all the time.
Oh yeah.
That's incapable of caring for itself.
Oh yeah.
For quite a long time. They're kind of incapable for a long time.
Well, even like with Frankie now, I'm like, wow, you just don't really sleep as much as you used to anymore, do you?
Yeah.
But like, they still can't. She like can't do anything really, but yet she's not sleeping either. So
she doesn't need to nap as much.
No. So I'm like, now here's where we play with Light It Up Freddy, and here's your fox. And should we move into this chair? And how about some tummy time? It's just like, oh my gosh.
I was like, here you are on your back. Now put up the little tripod.
The little,
thing.
Yeah, like, totally.
Play with that for a while and enjoy.
Do you want the monkey to dangle over your head? Right. Or do you want the fox
and
to dangle
they
over
get
your
bored
face?
Of it. I'm like, how dare you get bored of it? It's been there for half an hour. I have a life to live. Do you see this?
I know, isn't it funny?
It's so funny. But it was hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends didn't have kids yet. Or weren't going to have kids because
mm-hmm.
we were with this group. Actually, we were with a group of people that were kind of my husband's friends. I didn't really have my own friends yet, I don't feel like.
Shocking.
So, thank you. Just a natural attractant to people. So I'm all with Mike's friends and they're all like, they like to hike and which isn't bad. No, I'm just saying. But they're very outdoorsy. And a lot of the women just were very like adventuresome people. They just did not want to have children.
Yeah.
Slowing them down in that way. They wanted to see the world.
Yeah.
And so I just, we had really nothing in common after we had the kids.
Yeah.
And then I had a long time of not really having any friends. And I had to make friends kind of through...
The kids.
When you have kids and then suddenly you meet other parents.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I started to make some friends that way. But, you know, nobody really talks about that transition of, you know, being, you know, not having kids and then having kids. And I don't know if other people have experienced this, but kind of switching your friendship group around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did that happen for you, sort of, or?
Well, I feel like the more kids that I have, the less time I have for friends anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than finding friends,
this
it's
is
just
a very
like,
good point.
I just really can't have any friends right now, unfortunately.
Right. And that happened for me too. You just get busier and busier.
Well, and I guess for me, this is one of the hardest things for me about being a parent is that, like, I don't know. I feel like any time that I'm not with my kids, I feel guilty about it.
Yes.
I have just I just have a lot of guilt when I'm not around my kids mm-hmm. because I feel like I should be around them. They need me. I'm their mom. Little. And they're so little.
Yeah.
So I've just really had to prioritize work and kids.
Yeah. Family and time and work
and
time.
Luckily I work with, people that I Friends. Really like to spend time with.
Thank you.
So, but I mean, I feel like right now is like our social hour.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it works great because I've had kids for so long.
Yeah.
That, and then even though my youngest is 12 now, mm-hmm. I still feel like, oh, but we should be home when they're home from school.
If I totally can agree. Be,
yeah. and that stuff as they're getting older. And then you start realizing like, oh, they're in sixth grade. So then 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Well, that's quite a few.
I know. I'm like, And my two-year-old one day will be 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then 6, and then 7. Can you see where this is going? Oh, my gosh.
Never in the present moment. I never am. Always like, well, and then he'll be in 12th grade. And I'm like, okay.
In 6 years.
Calm down.
Yeah.
But it is that weird guilt feeling.
It's a guilty feeling.
So it is hard to have personal relationships.
And if anyone saw our post on Instagram yesterday, which I wrote it yesterday. It's coming out on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll wait.
You guys may have seen it yesterday. Okay. But I was just talking about like Mother's Day. I know Mother's Day can be a challenging holiday for a lot of people. And so mm-hmm. I just tried to recognize the different situations and the different ways that people may be feeling on Mother's Day and with this holiday. And one of the things I wrote like was talking about the people who find it difficult challenging to transition back and forth between me and mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that sometimes, like especially when we were in LA, for example, like we're doing all this work at the Empowerment Weekend. And then it's like, immediately I have to switch gears into mom mode, like within minutes, like we finish up and then we go outside and then like, there's the family, and it's like, it feels like it's sometimes it's hard to switch gears so quickly.
Well, it's weird because it's also like, for me, it's like, I'm just a mom. Like I feel like I'm always a mom. Like that's my main moniker.
Yeah.
And so like in LA, there was a woman in the weird woman in the bathroom and she said something like, well, you probably got that because you're pretty.
Oh.
And it kind of shocked me because I'm like, I don't think anyone's called me pretty, unless it's like a good friend.
Yeah.
Before I was a mom.
Oh, wow. How can that be true?
No one ever says I mean, you guys, my friends who are nice to me say it, like, oh, you look pretty today, which is great. Thank you. But it's weird to have a stranger say it.
Yeah.
Because I used to have it more prior to having children.
Sure.
But then somehow I think you just get this moniker of like, I'm a mother.
I'm a mom.
And I feel like I'm carrying it around all the time.
Yeah.
And, so I felt kind of shocked out of like, oh, thank you or whatever. Yeah. It just was a weird thing because I don't feel pretty as a mom.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, that's I think totally what I'm talking
about.
Which
of course you can be pretty and a mom too,
well,
or whatever. You can be sexy and a mom.
As you are.
Thank you, Kaylee.
Yes.
As you are as well. But you can be, all those things. But it's weird when we put that mantle on. And anyway, for me, it's hard for me to kind of take it off.
Yeah, I agree. Or doing things that make me feel detached from my children almost feels scary or out of control mm-hmm. for me.
Unsafe.
It almost feels unsafe mm-hmm. when I'm like, for example, let's say I go, this is weird. I've never really verbalized this, but like, as most people know, I love music so much and I love seeing live music, but it's like almost this, like, I don't know. It's like this experience for me where it feels so like freeing and I feel like so young and I don't know, like it's almost this spiritual experience and that almost scares me now because it pulls me away from feeling like the weight of the responsibility of my family, which of course I love having a family, but it's like, don't get too far away from that because that's like a scary feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
No, I had that when I first started working here or when we first started traveling.
Oh, did you?
Because it was like, It was like 5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And Ray was probably seven.
He was little.
And so I had been home,
yeah,
you know, pretty much the whole time.
Yes.
Working, but at home.
Yeah.
And so I remember doing those first few trips.
Yeah.
And I would be like kind of scared.
Scared. It's a scary feeling.
But not scared like, I don't know. It was scary to be without him.
Right.
And to be not a mother.
Right. Yes. That's exactly how I feel. You're not scared something's going to happen to him. You're not scared anything's going to happen to you. It's just this, like, it's scary because it feels like.
It almost doesn't fit the paradigm.
It doesn't fit the paradigm. Yeah. I'm like, can I even be going to like live music?
And then I'm like, what if I get stuck here? Or not stuck physically, but stuck.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Yes. Yeah. Like psychologically.
Yeah. Psychologically.
Or
that's it. And I'm like, no, totally agree.
You can't get stuck here.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, no. Don't enjoy this too much because this isn't what it feels like to be a mother of three small children.
Yes.
You can't feel this way because if you do, like, what's going to happen to the kids?
Right. Oh, yes. Exactly.
It's
a weird feeling.
It's a very weird feeling. Yeah. I found that very challenging as a mom.
Yes.
I also feel like I'm just always like rushing.
Oh, always.
I mean, even right now I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, okay, I have to, you know, leave here by this amount of time so I can go pick up Frankie. And when's the last time she ate? And you know, it's just a constant, like, and I don't know if it has to be this way. I think there's probably moms out there who are way more chill than I am and can find this balance a little bit
better. Or have a better balance going on.
But
But I think those are very valid concerns.
Right.
And good things to talk about.
They are good things to talk about.
I think a lot of mothers feel this in varying degrees.
And I think also because I'm like a breastfeeding mom right now, I know that they're so, like, I can't ever stray too far.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, psychologically. Like, I have to stay very connected to what I'm doing as a mom because I have a tiny little human who's relying on me for
on your body,
everything.
Your body too.
My body and my
nutrients.
Energy, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. And the freedom does feel like I don't know, but the freedom does feel good too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not this past ulocation, but the year before, I went with no kids. And it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But then turns out I was actually pregnant with Frankie.
Yeah,
so,
she didn't
I didn't know. She was there, but
she was there.
It's
she was like a zygote.
She was a zygote. She was tiny. She was not affected by the margaritas.
No, she didn't.
As we
can tell.
As far as we can tell,
we tested her and she's fine.
it is interesting though, because once you get away from it, like far enough away from it, not like in 3 hours I have to go pick up my kids or the babysitter, you know, like.
We're going to go to the concert, but then maybe have people.
But then we'll be home. But like, I mean, when you check out for a couple days.
Oh no, that's big.
You're like, oh wow. Wow. Like this is what that felt like.
That's why I love to give the dad the responsibility during those days.
It's good for them. Yeah.
Because them, not to say, I mean, of course dad should have it, but I think, well, in my situation, Mike's just used to me doing a lot of the child care stuff. And so I think it's good when I go away and it's like, there.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, you're very capable, probably more capable than me.
Oh, he is.
To do a lot of, yeah, he is.
He is.
And just not clean. But on other stuff, he's like entertaining,
he's fun, he plays. And Rom take the time
they
to like educate the kids.
They're like, let's go on a hike.
Yeah, and they're like, let's teach you about
like,
these bugs.
Who has time for that?
This is the name of the bug.
Mommy's tired. Let's watch basketball on the TV.
I know. I'm like, you want to watch a show, Huxley? And I saw a dad. It was so cute. I was driving a dad and a little daughter and they were at the bus stop and you could tell he was like explaining it to her. He was like pointing down and I think that they were like, and he was like crouched down on her level and he was like talking and using his hands and gesturing. And I thought, man, that is so cute. I just feel like sometimes dads are so good at that.
They are good
Whereas
at that.
Whereas moms are more like, okay, sit down. The bus will be here in a couple minutes.
Yes, I made breakfast. Here's your sack
like
lunch.
Like running through the, and like parenting is also.
Do you have your water bottle?
I know. Thinking about all just like the logistics.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get caught in the logistics of life. But being a mom, I think, has never made me feel like more purposeful.
Mm.
But has also never made me feel like a shittier person.
It's both. Yes. It's a very good thing that way. Yes.
Do you feel that way?
And it doesn't really, because I was thinking like, well, maybe when they get old.
Does it not go away?
Well, sometimes not.
But you have to tell me when they're this little, it's intensified, right?
Yeah. When you're older, it's almost, it's a weird thing because you can't go back and fix it. You know what I mean? Where they're like.
With the little ones, you can.
Yeah. The little ones, I'm like, well, fix it. I still have Ray. I can fix that. But with the big ones, I'm like, you know, uh-oh.
Right.
They said, you know, I didn't do that well. And I'm like, I can't fix it.
Right.
But of course, they're grown-ups now, too. And they're like, you don't have to fix it.
You don't have to fix it.
Like, and we see you as a grown-up. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't totally blame you for all this stuff. The mistakes that you made.
But the little ones are just, like, still in the unconditional love.
Yes, and they
still. Like, they just are that. They live it.
I kind of thought that the big ones would continue that way.
But guess what, folks? After about 15, they kind of stop.
I'm like, what? You don't appreciate it when I talk to you like that? Pardon me? Don't you know that mommy's always right and we don't argue at dinner parties?
Oh, please. That's awesome.
Mommy is correct. Smile at mommy.
Smile. And we're a happy family. Yeah, it's funny too because like we recently just did this little test on Facebook to like the different personality types.
Mm-hmm.
And something about mine that really hit home is it was like you spend a lot of your time in your head, like thinking.
Yeah.
Because mine was the thinker. And it was like you spend so much time in your head, like you've got to get out there and just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the theory versus the practice. I know I've said that a lot, the theory versus the practice.
That's good.
And I focus so much on the theory sometimes that, as a parent, I've realized how much that keeps me out of the present moment. Just it keeps me in my head,
mm-hmm.
not actually out living my life. Because sometimes I'll just be like thinking and I realize I'm not paying attention to what's around me because I'm just in my head or I'm like, just
not in the present.
Not in the present. And so that's been having kids has been a really great eye opener for me in that way to recognize like, get out of your head.
Yeah.
Get out of your head, get into your life.
Yeah. Like Ray the other night, I was like doing something at the computer, you know, and he's like, you want to go shoot hoops? And I'm like, no. And then all of a sudden he like, his face just like drop. He's like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, oh no, I'll go shoot hoops.
Actually, yeah.
And I went outside and it was like twilight. It was really beautiful.
That's awesome.
And I was like, and he, you know, they're just so like, he's like, let's play to seven. And I'm like, oh, seven. Cute. And he's like, beats me really bad. And, I'm like, all right. But it was suddenly I was in the moment. I wasn't like thinking like, well, I didn't do that one thing. And oh no, I forgot to send that email.
Right.
And then well, what are we going to have for dinner tomorrow night? You know, and all that stuff.
All the things that it's are like, constantly hey, running about right now? To your head.
You want to hang out right now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the kids just bring you right into the present.
Yeah.
And I love that about the awareness that my kids have given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how different my children are.
Oh, that's so awesome. When you
my
see them.
My kids, like, I mean, I don't really know about Frankie yet. I'm not sure who she is yet. But with Huxley and Piper, they are so drastically different in their personalities.
Yeah. Oh, totally different.
It's so fun. And it's like your candle analogy that you do. Will you just tell it for the people?
No, I don't want to ruin it. Because you guys have to sign up for Empowerment Weekend.
But basically, the thought is like, you know, we feel like we're not able or capable of loving like our next kids as much as we love our first. Like, how could I love anyone else as much as I love this kid? I mean, it literally does feel impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that next kid, if you have that next kid. And like, it's just a completely different yet exactly equal love.
How beautiful is that too?
I know.
Because you're learning that love isn't finite.
It's not finite.
Yes.
And you're like, but how? How would I find it in me?
You know what I mean?
It's like, not the same. It's not the same at all. Which I have a little framed thing in my house that says like, something about like there are no two of the same kind of love. And I just feel that way so strongly with my kids.
It's so true.
And just like, oh my gosh, they're just so different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love so much. I never thought I could love anybody as much as I love Huxley.
And it's so fun watching them grow up. too. Oh, even now, having the perspective of older kids,
right?
Like watching them mature, like I'm still like, oh, she was like this when she was 10, but now she's like this, or he was like that. And they start to take on, they just, like all of us, of course, we go through phases of our lives.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, this is an interesting phase. I never would have anticipated that for him.
Yeah.
You know, these things.
I bet that's so exciting to.
It really is. It's very like, it's like these stories unfolding.
Right. You know, one of the other most challenging things about parenting for me, and maybe this is because I have girls, but it's really hard when I see the things that I don't like about myself in them.
Oh, yeah.
And how I don't create shame for them around those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that has been a really interesting kind of journey for me.
Yes.
Like this whole riding a bike thing with Huxley, you know. I mean, now she knows how to ride a bike. But I was like really kind of worked up by the fact that she was the only one.
The only who, 4-year-old.
Didn't have her training wheels off on that, you know, on those first couple lessons.
Right.
And I realized like that stems from my, I don't like to be, you know, I don't like to be behind. I don't like to.
You want
to
be in the know too. You want to be like.
Yeah. And I want to be like with the group. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be left behind.
Like the non-swimmers. Sometimes that happens, you know.
Yeah. And I also have, Ula's kind of the exception, but everything else that's physically challenging, I don't really do it because it's hard for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, with this biking stuff, it just, you know, her stuff just really brought up all of my stuff.
Yeah.
It's just been so interesting. And then how to, not to put it on them.
Well,
it's
I
not
loved
her
it.
Stuff. It's my stuff.
I loved it because I started to learn about what my stuff was.
You totally learned about your stuff.
I didn't
why
know
is that
I felt
triggering
so
me?
Strongly about that.
Yeah.
And then to realize like, okay, so you know that's your trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to back off on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Beezy. Back off.
Beezy.
Yeah. Tell myself, you know.
Back off.
Back off. Like uh-huh. You don't have to do the weight thing or whatever, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, be the best athlete or, but that wasn't mine because I didn't grow up like that. But I was definitely worried about weight kind of in the kids. Like, because I grew up that way, but I did not vocalize it in any way. But it was funny
good
when they
you.
Would get around my family.
Oh.
Then it would get vocalized because that was
the
language
culture
of
your
that family.
Sure.
And so they would all be shocked.
Oh, about
like,
weight.
Yeah. Someone would say, well, you're fat.
Yeah.
You know, someone said to Sam, my sister said to him something like, you shouldn't drink that juice. You're so fat. And he was like 15.
Oh.
Broke his heart.
Yeah.
And he just hadn't internalized that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thought about it, but to hear a grown up, someone you respect say it to you was devastating.
Yes.
And so I tried to stay far away from that in my own family, knowing that was my trigger and I did not want them to inherit that.
Yeah. We've made that kind of a rule. We never speak about our bodies.
Yeah. No bodies, no.
Well, and I don't want to, that's too absolute of a sentence, but never in a way that's like, oh, I feel so fat or blah, blah, blah. I really don't want that to be part of my children's psyche either.
And the other thing.
The world is going to do it to them enough. Like, I don't want their mom to be the one who does it to them.
Oh God. Yeah. Please. No. It's like, and you don't know, you know, a lot of my kids were chubby when they were little and they grew up to be very tall and strong and healthy. They weren't, you know, so I knew developmentally, you can't tell what a kid's going to be.
Right.
A lot of times as they get older. So I'm like, I'm going to make no judgment about that. I'm not the expert there.
Yeah.
I also learned, I don't know about you, for me, having kids taught me a lot about my own mother.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like I have way more compassion for her than I used to.
Okay.
Because I also see like it's hard.
It is.
Being a mom.
Yeah.
And everyone's coming from, she came from a different background than I came from.
Yeah.
And so it's just harder for me to make judgment about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, oh, I see her much more in a light of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because my husband's just like, the other day we were talking to the kids and something came up about my mom. And he was like, oh, she was the worst mother. Like, he just went off because he met her, you know, and I was like 23. And she was just in her realm of sort of being her, which wasn't a motherly person.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just can't believe you survived that. But I see her now you know, she didn't mean to be that way. Right. And there's no point in me attacking this older woman now and being like,
you're a
terrible mom or whatever. It was like, mm-hmm. She came with what she had.
Yeah.
And she thought she was doing good.
Did she think she was doing good?
I think she thought she was doing good from her childhood.
Like, okay.
She was trying to correct her stuff.
Yeah.
Remember I told you about that book, The Corrections?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You guys should all read it, but it's about these generations and everyone's trying to make a correction.
Yes.
From the generation
before.
I think
we all always do that.
So I think she was trying to correct something.
Yes.
For her, it might have been like, we're going to give these kids all these financial goods, yes. like security in terms of finance.
Yes.
Because she didn't have that as a kid.
Sure.
So that was her, like, I'm going to correct that. Uh-huh. And they're going to feel safe that way. Uh-huh. And we did feel safe that way, certainly.
Yes.
We didn't feel safe in a caring and loved way.
Yeah, an attachment
way.
Yeah.
But so that was her correction, though, from her childhood.
For sure.
So I just see her, you know, she certainly made a lot of mistakes, but
yeah.
Well, I just see her with a lot of compassion and just like there's just a human trying to be a mom and trying to be a person in her life.
Yeah. Yeah. And this has nothing to do with your mom. Mm-hmm. So this isn't about her.
Yeah.
But like when we don't try, though, when we just kind of be like, well, I'm just not good at this. That's, you know, that is, it's like, I can feel that in myself sometimes where I'm like, you know, everyone's like, you may not be the best mom, but at least you're doing your best. But I always have to check myself, but am I?
Yeah, sometimes I'm not.
And some, you know, I just wonder that sometimes.
I'm kind of
lazy. I'm like, okay, but am I? Mm-hmm. Is everybody actually doing their best?
Mm-hmm.
Are we? And I think, you know, just to be totally honest, the more kids that I have, the harder it is for me to do my best. Like, I was a freaking fantastic mom when I just had one kid.
Oh boy, you were. I was like, wow, she was a really good mom.
Like, I never lost my patience.
Oh no, you were always like, now Huxley. Now, of course, Huxley's personality.
Yes.
Makes it maybe a little
easier.
She's
very easy to parent
that way.
She's so sweet.
She's
and
very,
just
yeah, very
emotionally intelligent and like, you know. Yeah. And so it's
very aware of the other's feelings too.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting. Like the more kids I have, it's harder to be good at this.
It's hard to be good at it.
You know, and like you had a hard time transitioning to one.
Yeah.
I had an easy time transitioning to one.
Yeah, you had an easy time.
I loved becoming a mom.
She could do a lot. She's having it so easy for her.
I had a really great, easy transition. Like I was grateful for everything. And I was like, I don't know. I just felt like every day I tried to do something that was like so special.
Yeah.
You know, and God, then the more kids I have, I just like don't have it in me anymore to like have all this.
Well,
I just don't have the patience. I feel like I don't have the time or the energy. Like sometimes I feel like I really.
And they all have their own opinions.
When it's so hard to round them up sometimes, you know, even just to get them into the car, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh no.
You know, Piper's like, no, I do it. I want to sit in Huxley's seat. I'm like, you're sitting in your own seat. Okay.
Yeah.
Huxley's in hers. It's just hard. Like it's hard for me to keep my cool.
Oh yeah. Plus you're teaching them.
I know.
You know, I'm like,
that's
you don't
why
get
like,
to sit in that seat. This is your seat.
I know.
You know, it's like, this is the, I'm teaching
you. I know, but
you.
I just feel bad because I do feel bad. I feel like I was a better mom when I just had Huxley.
Yeah, but the beauty of having, and maybe you were, the beauty of having
I was.
Multiple children is they have each other as they
Thank
get older.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Thank
they
goodness.
Start, and so then they start to like talk to each other. Like,
yeah.
No, maybe don't talk to mom right now because
well,
she's got that weird look on her.
Bossy
face.
Little girl. Then I'm like, you are a little mommy. Like,
yeah.
You know, she kind of.
Well, and she's funny because she goads Piper.
She totally
does. Because Piper's like, I want to buy that. And Huxley's like, and she, Huxley will just look at her and then look away and keep the food item. And I'm like,
oh I know.
But that's what siblings do.
That's
it's
what
a great.
Siblings do.
And it's all learning about how to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
In community, because it's kind of difficult when you live intimately with each other, you know, in close-knit quarters, day in and day out.
For sure.
Like Ray doesn't have his, you know, his brothers and sisters are so much older that he's kind of an only child now. And so it's funny because his best friend, Ethan, he's always like, yesterday he came home and he was like, you know, today I was drinking out of my water bottle with my straw and Ethan hit my water bottle and made my lip bleed. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, well, you know, maybe he didn't mean to hit your water bottle or, you know.
Yeah.
And, but he's not used to conflict.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's funny because his friends with Sibs, they'll all be in the car together, sometimes riding, and they'll be doing stuff to tease Ray. And Ray will be like, stop it. I told you to stop it. Mm-hmm. And they'll start laughing like, get ready. He's getting mad.
He's getting mad.
Because he's not used to having to deal with that much.
Yeah.
Intimate conflict sometimes, which I appreciate having the friends over so they can kind of tease him and remind him, you know,
right?
You don't always get it your way.
Right.
Or if it's unpleasant, you got to deal.
Right. Yeah.
You know, friends are going to be not always friendly or they're going to tease you or whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that is.
Which is great having the Sibs because it just reminds me of Huxley and Piper. Like, I'm like, oh, Ray doesn't have this where someone won't give him.
Won't give it.
Yeah. Not give it. And then Piper's all like, give it to me.
It's interesting. I know. Poor Piper. well, and it's interesting.
What is it? Uh-oh. She lost that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when Huxley tells on like Piper, which she'll do. She'll be like, Mom, Piper, whatever. Like, one thing that I've started to do is say, okay, Huxley, how do you want me to handle this? Like, what is your reason for telling me this? Would you like me to get involved? Do you need me to get that back? And then, as just a joke, I'm like, do you need me to throw Piper in the garbage?
Oh, that's funny.
Like, we always, you know, because I'm like,
she all like,
yeah, she laughs and it kind of like diffuses it, you know, a little bit. But I'm like, what is the purpose of you telling on
like tattletale?
Why are you telling? Yeah. Like, do you need me to go in and fix it? Do you just want to get your sister in trouble? Should we throw her away? Like, do you want to get rid of your sister?
I kind of want to get her in trouble.
And it's so funny. Yeah. I'm like, do you want to get rid of her? Should we just get rid of her then?
That's like relationship dynamic, right?
Totally.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so funny. And then, yeah, they both laugh about it and stuff, but it's, this whole parenting gig, it's amazing and it's so challenging.
Yeah.
And I keep waiting, like wondering when it's going to get a little bit easier.
Oh, it gets
maybe
easier.
When Frankie can walk.
When Frankie can walk for sure. And then when they're all in school, which is going to be a while. Well, no, she'll be in preschool.
Go to preschool.
And then for me, that got really much easier because then it'd be like they're all in preschool or school from like, you know, Huxley will be like 8 to 3 or whatever. She's in school and then Piper will be in preschool.
Yeah.
I don't know, 8 to noon and Piper and Frank will be 8 to noon. So really you have then all those. I would just be like, I have all these hours to myself.
Yeah, but I work. You didn't work.
Yeah, but that even having the free time to go to work and not think like I have to leave.
Yeah.
You know, at least you know I have to leave at noon or whatever.
Yes.
But I do have these 4 hours but that are guaranteed.
But then it's like, when do I get any time at my house?
Oh, well, no, that's not going to happen.
You know? Mm-mm. It's just hard. I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, well,
But then I also read something about I have like a heart chakra imbalance.
Oh, is that what they're
saying? Yeah, when it was like you feel like you never have enough. Like all of these things that it listed, I was like, okay, maybe it's actually, you know, rounding the horses back around to the beginning of this podcast. Maybe it's not about time at all. Maybe it's like an internal balancing something.
Oh.
You know, maybe time is just an illusion. It's not that I don't have enough time to do all of this stuff.
Maybe you need to reframe it.
Maybe I need a reframe about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting because it's also related to that guilt piece too, like not having enough time.
Yeah.
You know, kind of holding that over your head.
Yeah.
Like, where's your time? Yeah. Well, we have time to do this.
Yeah. Well, and I think because Ula is, it's like, you know, I don't have to work.
Yes. Right.
And I think there's a big piece in that I choose to work. I think that's what it is. And actually, I was having a conversation just last night at dinner about how maybe one of the reasons that like Americans aren't as happy as some other countries is because we've always been taught like it's just part of our cultural like thinking that we have access to every opportunity. Anything you want to be or do, like, you could become that.
Right.
You know, everyone's like, follow your dreams and
yes.
like manifest destiny and all of these things. And so because of that, we feel like we have all of these choices. We have all of these choices to make. And so then we feel this pressure of like, oh my gosh, like I have 1,800,000 different directions my life could go. Mm-hmm. Whereas like some countries like Sweden, you know, when they're in, or Norway, when they're in high school, they pick their career path.
Mm-hmm,
and then all of their classes are then
filtered into that.
Yeah. And so they don't think like, oh my gosh, like, you know, in their mid 20s, like, should I change majors?
Right.
Should I go back to, you know, it's like,
should we open suddenly salad?
And so I was wondering sometimes, you know, like if it's because we have all of this ability to choose, which of course is a blessing. Absolutely. But I wonder if we get a little confused mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I'm like, this is a choice that I work, this is a choice that I have this business, and I'm choosing not to be with my kids.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
That I think that is where my guilt comes from.
Yes.
Now, let's say we relied on my income for, you know, just to survive and we I needed to work and it wasn't a choice. Then I wonder if I would actually have less guilt around it, because it's just like, this is your life and this is what's required. And this is, you have to go to work.
Well, and you're providing.
And you're providing.
Like if I don't do this.
And I look at my kids and I say, you have food on the table right. because I went to work.
And I think those kids from families like that have a different attitude about work too.
Uh-huh.
Like they understand like, yo, no, she needs to work.
Yeah.
Like that. Cause the work she did yesterday or the last few weeks got me these pants I'm wearing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I do find, I think there's something about that in my guilt.
That's something to investigate.
Well, I'm investigating.
Yeah. I like
that.
Yeah.
But I think it's the choice and that I've chosen this.
Yes.
And that I choose to be away.
I choose to
and
be
it's
away.
Not even like I make any money doing this.
No.
You know?
Right.
It'd be different too if I were like, heck yeah.
Mommy.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, Piper asks a million questions. Why? Why do you? I'm like, okay, it's time to go to school. Why? Because I have to, you know, because then you got to go to school. Why? Because mommy has to go to work. Why? Because I have a job. Why? And then I have, and then I get into this like psychological space where I'm like,
why?
Uh-oh.
Why do I
have to drop you off with, you know, with other people so mommy goes to work? Like, why do I?
Well, or it could be like, so you can play with your friends.
No, and we have all those conversations. But she's going to ask why when I do absolutely anything with her.
Curious.
That's what she said. She always asks the question, why? But what I'm telling you is I'm going back to that space where I'm the thinker profile.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it triggers
why
you.
Why do I? Yeah.
I don't have to, so maybe I shouldn't.
I know, it's really...
But like for me, if I don't, I'm kind of not a very nice parent.
Mm.
Which I found out. It's actually better for me in terms of balance wise. Because if I don't, then I'm not very balanced.
But see, I'm a really, really, really good parent on the weekends when I'm not trying to work and be a parent.
Yes.
I'm a really bad parent when I'm at home trying to work and trying to be a mom.
Right.
Because I can't, it's too much and I'm getting emails and texts and I have to do this and write about this and blah, 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 and my kids.
Yeah. That's like, the problem of being an owner of your own business too.
It is. It totally
would be
is.
Different if you work.
But on the weekend when I'm like, I'm not working, then I love being a parent.
Yeah.
I enjoy it so much. I can be so much more present. It's like,
park and then we're going to do this.
It's like being pulled in too many directions is when I start sucking at it.
And that might be more about setting boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, I will only do emails until 6 p.m. or whatever.
Right.
Because that is hard when you're a sole business owner, sole proprietor, or whatever it is, because there's never an off switch.
No. Well, and it's hard because both Rob and I have our own businesses.
Do both that,
So we're both just like constantly like.
Yeah, and it's all like, well, actually, I'm doing this now. And it's like,
okay, you pick up Frankie at 12:30. I'll go here. And then you get the other girls. It's just like, I've got to take a meeting at this time and then a 6 p.m. whatever and then da 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 da. I mean, I'm sure everyone feels this way.
Oh,
everyone feels this way. It's
everyone
just so
feels
hard
that
to
way.
Juggle it.
And it's just, it's that time, like my dad said, you know, I complained to him and Haley's heard this story a million times, but where I was just like, I just feel like I'm doing too much and I can't get, you know, I'm just overwrought. And he looked at me and he said, well, when would a better time be for this?
I love this story.
And I looked at him and I'm like, oh.
I love that story.
I know. It was one of those things where he says those few words and it just like shocked me into like.
It's just so powerful.
He's like, when would a better time be for this be?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, do you want this to happen when you're 60?
Mm-hmm.
70? Would that be a better time for you?
Yeah, right.
And I'm like.
You're like, hell no.
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 And he was like, yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, so now's your time.
Yeah. No, it's
like,
true.
And I was like, oh, now's my time.
That's my time.
Yeah. And it made me sort of reframe that this is your time. This is going to be a struggle. Some of it's going to be a struggle, but sometimes the struggle is going to feel great and sometimes it's going to feel bad.
Yeah.
But it's your time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my time.
It's your time.
It's your time. It's our time.
It's our time.
It's our time. It's your time to be doing this and Rob's time to be doing this.
Because your little kids are so cute.
And that's why you have them kind of to remind you, like,
yeah,
you know, otherwise you'd just be,
you know. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh,
which is fine, too, because I think even people without kids
struggle
with that whole in terms of, like, either they become, you know, do I just work, you know, how much time do I put into my relationships?
Right. Yes.
Because I work with some people in their 40s and 50s who have chosen their careers, and now they're like, how do I slow down?
Sure.
Or how do I meet somebody?
Sure.
Because I've just gotten so into this.
Oh, absolutely.
And now they're like, I'm thinking about these next 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
How do I?
I think being, this is like full beings. We are full beings. We have many, many facets to our personality, to our roles, to our, our relationships. And I think so much is just like figuring that out.
Yes, exactly.
You know, figuring it out. And you can be, yourself and be a mom, or you can choose not to be a mom and still be, you know, living a full life.
Oh yes, most definitely.
It's just
where everybody's at and our different phases of our lives too. You know, we're kind of in the active phase, whatever that is. And, and it's even like hearing today, you know, Julie's mom is waiting for her to come up for Mother's Day. And that just touched me because it's like, of course she would be.
Yeah.
Because she's in the slower phase now. Yeah. So and it's about waiting for your grown kids. When will you come? Because we're, you know, they did for a long time.
Yes.
That couple. And now they're like,
yes.
Now we just want to be with you.
Now we just want to be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we'll be at too. You know, hopefully if we live that long down that line.
Yeah.
Waiting for Huxley to bring her kids up to the house or whatever.
I hope she still likes me.
I know that. We have our fingers crossed. Please.
Please like me. I hope I don't mess this up too bad. thanks for listening.
Yes. Happy, happy Mother's Day. Hope you all had a good one, whether you're mothers or mothers of free things or mothers of work or mothers of children, whatever you're a mother of.
That's right.
We're all creators.
Love you guys.
Love you.